partner on a deal. Some people call it deal funding, something mm-hmm. like that, but it's basically the same thing. There's two components to it. There's someone that brings the money mm-hmm. and there's someone that brings the deal. As an investor, you can add a lot of value to that equation by simply finding the deals and bringing the deal to the table. And then you work with the partner or a deal funder that then actually brings the money to the deal. And in some cases, they bring a lot more than that to the deal mm-hmm. as well. And then you split the profits. You do some sort of profit split at the end and each make a certain percentage of that.
Welcome to Turning Profit, a podcast for people that love real estate. Learn the business models and skills that professional real estate investors use to make money and build wealth. Visit TurningProfit.com for a wealth of investor resources. And now, here are your hosts, Pete and Heather Reese.
Welcome to the Turning Profit podcast. Heather, it's so great to be here once again.
I know we're in a mid-remodel, right?
Okay.
Would you call that a redesign, if you will?
We're in the early stages of our new studio.
Early stages.
Well, we got some of the major components going. We've got some new lighting up here. We've rearranged things in the room a little bit, but didn't have time to completely dial things in, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
But it's getting there.
Yeah. It'll be hopefully next week. You'll see. It'll be like a progress kind of thing. So we look a little washed out and a little different.
Speak for yourself, Heather.
Yeah, I know, right? You were born naturally with more color than I am, or more pigmentation, right? Yeah. But we'll get there, right?
We'll get there. We're getting there. Mm-hmm. And if you're listening to this podcast, why aren't you watching it on YouTube?
Are we on the right sides that we're normally on?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
feels we shifted like- the we shifted the rotation. This is really messing with Heather, I guess.
Yeah, I'm like all out of sorts. So.
Yeah, the topic for today is going to be an actual one that we get asked about all the time, and I know as a new investor, this is one of the big questions that you have.
Right, and we've covered it a little in the past, but we still get questions. So we're like taking the questions that we didn't cover and try to.
And this is the 2024 version. Things change.
2024 version.
Yeah, so
I like it.
The topic for today is how to invest in land with no money down. And when you hear that, you're probably thinking,
sounds like a scam.
BS. That's not possible. Uh-huh. How can you invest in real estate without any money down? But I can tell you with 100% confidence that you can invest in land and make a lot of money in the process with no money down. So today we're going to go over those techniques. There's a few main ways that you can get that done. And some will work better for others and vice versa.
I think exactly like that. Like there's just so much like BS on the internet these days.
Yes.
And people do catchy headlines, which I get because the reality is that you have to catch people's attention.
You have to get people's attention, yeah.
Because the problem is that, I mean, we know it, you know, like it's, everything is really, really quick these days. It's 30 seconds here, 30 seconds there. So if it sounds too good to be true, it normally is. And that's why I feel like it's important to really cover this topic so that we get into it more so people understand how they can do it. And also, I guess, look out for scams because, you know.
Unfortunately, there are scammers out there. But I can tell you, you know, getting into this, you know, like I remember when I was in high school, I was always interested in real estate investing, by the way.
Are we going to talk about Carlton Sheets?
Exactly. Yes, you stole my punchline.
Sorry.
Carlton Sheets, and maybe you're not old enough to even know who Carlton Sheets is. He had an infomercial on TV.
You're talking about everyone else. I'm old enough.
I know, but, you know, I'm talking to everyone else.
Yeah, I was like, excuse me.
I know you're old enough.
Thank you.
He used to have an infomercial on TV that used to run continuously. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was the shows I watched or something like that. But I would always see this infomercial and I would actually watch it because it was fascinating to me.
Right.
And these people were talking about that they followed Carlton's system mm-hmm. and they were able to buy these houses for no money down. They would accumulate all these rental properties. And I thought, wow, that's so cool. And at the time, I didn't have a lot of skepticism. And I was just thinking, you know, that sounds awesome. Has to be true.
But you bought the program,
I bought
right?
the program. Yeah. I still have it. I think it's somewhere. Huh?
How old were you when you bought it?
16, 17 years old.
What did your parents think?
Well, they didn't own a house at the time.
Right.
So I was like, okay, my first step is to get my parents a home. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's why I have this obsession with real estate mm-hmm. and accumulating real estate. I actually went through the course and everything like that. And in hindsight, there's a lot of great stuff in there. I just didn't take any action to actually make it happen.
Well, it's hard for a 16-year-old to have the executive function skills to put that into play. Also, you didn't have contractual responsibility at that age. True. So you couldn't sign for anything. You couldn't legally buy a house. And if your parents had never bought a house before, it'd be highly unlikely that they'd be like gung-ho to and not understand the process. Be like, I think our kids are amazing. But if they came to me with some idea of something I've never done before when they were 16 and I didn't necessarily have the resources or the background in it, I would might say, I believe you and I think that would work, but I'm not ready to do something like that.
But what if it was me that came to you? 16-year-old Pete, it came to you.
Thankfully, I didn't know 16-year-old Pete. I met you at, what, 23?
No, I was 24, maybe, something like that.
It's like the concepts haven't changed, right, in a lot of ways.
Honestly, our business model is different than Homes, what they were doing there. But really, those concepts probably still work today in order to do things with no money down. Now, the things that we're going to be talking about today aren't even that complicated. Mm-hmm. Now, we've got some defined paths as a land investor that you can take to get involved with these properties and to make a considerable amount of money in some situations and others, maybe not. But there's ways to make considerable profit on deals. And simply the whole key in this situation is finding the deals.
And also I want to point out, we're not going to be like talking about like just wholesaling. Because I think a lot of people think
it's not wholesaling at all.
Actually. Right. I mean, it's and a lot of people think of like, oh, OK, so I'm going to like knock on doors, which, by the way, is pretty hard to do with land. You're going to knock on dirt and they're not.
Well, maybe you just go to a field and just hope to run into the farmer.
Hello, is anyone there? Ask the rabbits for help. Yes. Yeah,
and so, hopefully not get shot.
That went kind of dark very quickly. Well, yeah. But I know what you mean. In certain areas, that could be a risk. Like I wouldn't be walking on people's properties these days. So pointing that out too, that it's not about wholesaling. It's not about, it's not some complicated, like, didn't he have like little cards with his system or something? Or
probably.
There was some sort of like, or am I thinking of the Richard Simmons?
You're thinking of Deal-A-Mule.
Deal-A-Mule. It was along the same. Hey, I didn't have like a need for that. And yet I wanted that so bad because it just seemed really fun.
Those infomercials back then were so good.
They were.
We should take a cue from those. They did a great job. And they were, it was exciting to me because I would see all these people that were buying these homes with like no money down. And then I would get excited about it. And I was like, I could do that. And I didn't do it.
Well, but anyhow, you're 16. It's kind of like, I don't know if everyone saw, but I don't know if you knew about Larry H. Parker. Mm-hmm. I'll get you $2.1 million. And in 85, that was a lot of money. I mean, it still is, but that was a lot of money. It's like they did these different things.
Well, that was the thing is, like, that was like the main media that everyone was consuming at that time was TV.
Right.
There wasn't social media and all these distractions and everything. So everything that was on there was like more meaningful.
Right. And if you were and MLMs were rampant, but they were under the disguise of clubs, and it would be one on one. You'd go to a Tupperware party or I'm not saying Tupperware is bad, by the way, but I mean, there is some level of stuff. But yeah, it's interesting. So now it's information overload. So you have to decipher what's real, what's not real, who your source is coming from for taking medical advice. Does this person have an MD and are they still credited? Is this a real estate investor that's actually doing it?
That's one of my pet peeves. I mean, it's one of the reasons why I'm so open with the type of, with the deals that we do and all that kind of stuff, because personally, I like to learn from people that are doing it rather than people that are just teaching about doing
it. They call it false gurus. Yeah. I mean, it's rampant in every industry, though. Even when we're doing blogging and stuff, we did income reports there too, to show that like we were actually making money doing it.
Right.
Because and the other issue with that is that you can be really good at it. And maybe you did it, land investing in the 90s and you were really successful, but the world's different than the 90s. That's why it's important that you still have a paw. I don't know what I'm thinking about, like a paw in the door. Yeah, a paw in the door of what's happening, because everything does change so much. So the reality is that we could be talking about this in the 90s, or we could be talking about this 20 years ago, and we would be talking only about hard money.
Right.
Because that was the way that worked.
Right.
And we're not really talking about hard money. I mean, that's an option, right? Mm-hmm. But that's like, we're not talking about just wholesaling, which has been around forever. We're not talking about that. What's another one that's been around? You know what I mean? Like we're
not talking about seller financing, although that's an option too.
Right. These are all viable. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important too to look at each deal and say, hey, what's the best way to do this? But I guess we should just jump in, because we could go on a lot of tangents about all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So these are my top ways to invest in land without any money down. So first of all, one of the big ways that you can do it is to partner on a deal. Mm-hmm. So partner, some people call it deal funding, something mm-hmm. like that, but it's basically the same thing. Basically, there's two components to it. There's someone that brings the money mm-hmm. and there's someone that brings the deal. As an investor, you can add a lot of value to that equation by simply finding the deals and bringing the deal to the table. And then you work with the partner or a deal funder that then actually brings the money to the deal. And in some cases, they bring a lot more than that to the deal mm-hmm. as well. And then you split the profits. You do some sort of profit split at the end and each make a certain percentage of that.
And there's a couple ways to look at that too. It could be somebody that's like an actual like business partner where mm-hmm. you've created a new business together. One of you is the nuts and bolts. They understand all that kind of stuff. And the other one strictly is the money or very limited. Mm-hmm. So it could be like from the beginning, you're going into business with your dad or your cousin. I want to say Cousin Vinny. Isn't that like a movie?
Vinny. I'm like, my Cousin Vinny?
I don't think you have a Cousin Vinny, but if you do, that's cool. I just have
no, I was just saying the movie name.
Okay, good. Thank you. Oh, is that what it is? My Cousin Vinny?
Yes.
Oh. I'm like,
the
really,
way I said it, Heather.
I'm really slow to, like,
yes,
really
you are.
Slow to. And so you could do that. But if you don't have a rich uncle or you don't have a friend that wants to go into business with you or that's you're not comfortable, you want your own business, mm-hmm. there are people that will partner with you on that. And it's normally like for a split of the profit, right?
Yeah. Profit. So we're going to go into that deeper.
Okay.
So there's a partner. There is leveraging family and friends. Mm-hmm. Most of the time you would be just simply borrowing money from them. Potentially they could be some sort of partnership split as well, mm-hmm. but you're leveraging someone else that you know to lend you money.
Right.
To get the deal done.
And you just touched on that. It could be that they get a share of the profits. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to split this. Or it could be that I'm going to pay you a certain interest.
Right.
Or I'm just going to pay you a set amount. Like, I will pay you back. It's not even based off of an interest rate. You could say, okay, if you give me $25,000, I will return $30,000. Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, the reality is that you can structure it any way you want. It just has to be hopefully mutually beneficial to both parties.
So there's some upsides, there's some downsides mm-hmm. to that. We'll get into that a little bit more. And then, you know, kind of the other big thing that you could do, and this is not an option for everyone, is that you could use your credit in some way to mm-hmm. maybe you've got another house or an asset where you're doing a cash out refinance, or maybe you've got some sort of business line of credit or something like that that you could leverage. So mm-hmm. that's one way to do it. That's not, it's technically no money down because you're not securing it by the property itself. So mm-hmm. anyhow, but that, you know, that option itself is not used by too many people and maybe used in a limited way, I guess you could say. Want to learn the secret to building a thriving land flipping business? Head on over to landconquest.com and join over 2,000 passionate land flippers leveraging the power of community to scale quickly. Sign up for free at landconquest.com. All right, let's get back to the show. So let's go into option number one. This is the most common thing that land investors do, and this is the most common way that they're able to invest in these properties without using any of their own money. And it is the most common way because I think it's the best win-win type scenario. And there's a number of things about it. So first of all, there's two versions of this. And I'd like to think that we started version number two of this with our partner with Pete Program. But version number one, they are simply a money partner, meaning they bring only the money to the deal. You as the investor do everything else. So you're responsible for the due diligence, you're responsible for handling the transaction, the marketing, the transaction on the resale side, any sort of improvements to the property. Like, all of that is on you as the investor. You bring the deal, you do everything else, but you have a money partner that then brings the money to the deal. And then when it resells, you do a split of the profits. Generally, mm-hmm. that's a 50-50 split. In version number two, which we are big proponents of, and like I said, I'd like to think that we have kind of started a whole new avenue with this, is our Partner with Pete program. Now, this is a partnership program, deal funding program, where you bring the deal as the investor. We look at if we agree that it's a deal, we'll agree to fund or partner on that deal. And then what happens is that we take the baton, my team takes the baton and runs with it. I've got an established build out team with every, you know, function of the land investing process, you know, like covered. So we'll do the due diligence, the research. We'll find a great agent to give us an opinion on the property. We'll send a photographer to the property. We'll do all the stuff. If it needs a perk test, anything like that, we'll front those costs for that. We'll handle the transaction. And after the purchase closes, we will then handle the marketing of that. And then when, an offer steps forward, we'll negotiate the deal. And then when the property resells, we split the profits 50-50. So it's much different than a regular kind of funding partnership type situation where the investor has to do all that stuff. Because believe me, especially if you were a one-person team, there's a lot of stuff to do it right. Mm-hmm. And that stuff can really bog you down. Handing that over to my team, which is very established and very good at what we do, I think is a huge benefit. And the other thing is we just split the profits 50-50 when it's done. So I've got interviews on our YouTube channel highlighting some investors that have, you know, been working with us on the Partner with Pete program. There's a lot of other deals that we've done too, where we don't have an interview for every deal that we've done or anything like that. But
we have some people that don't want to do interviews because
right, exactly.
they're making some really good money and that's not right. Something they want.
Right. Out there. Yeah. And I understand that as well. You know, yeah. Some people are into the limelight. Some people aren't.
So. Right. And it's not even the limelight. Like, we don't know their background. Like, maybe they have a brother that would be or a.
Yeah, sure. You never know. You know. Yeah. So, but anyhow, we're trying to kind of put those out there and do as many of those as we can on our YouTube channel.
What I like the most about the Partner with Pete program is that you touched on it too, that it harnesses our whole system, like the back end. I find that a lot of people really enjoy the deal, getting the deal, getting all that kind of stuff. They don't want to find and vet an agent that is established in that area. Or it's sometimes hard when you're new to get an agent to take you seriously.
It is, yeah.
And so, and it can be done. It's no problem at all, but it does take work because, you know, they get a lot of tire kickers per se, or people just wanting free stuff or free advice. And we have a network of agents. And if not, we have more of an establishment and a process in place that we can normally find somebody really right. good.
That's a way to do a deal with no money down. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's nothing. We don't ask for anything. We, you know, if a property were to lose money, it's not like we come back and say, you owe us the money that, you know, mm-hmm. this loss or anything like that. No, that's all on us. It's only upside. So I think it's amazing for investors that are just getting going or want to completely leverage their skills on finding these great mm-hmm. deals and let us worry about the rest. And then we split the profits. So.
Right. Especially if you're just getting started, you have some sort of money to pay for advertising, right? To send mailers or whatever. And a lot of times it just makes more sense to use that money to find more deals as opposed to using that money to fund it because then it's locked up and then you have to wait till it closes before you can even send out more deal, you know, more.
Yeah, exactly. Or what if you have to, you know, add value to the property, say you have to clear brush or you have mm-hmm. to hire a surveyor. We just wrote a check to a surveyor for $30,000. I mean, sometimes it's a lot of money that you got to put out front in order to create that value and make it worth more on the resale side of things.
Thank you for that reminder.
Huh? Well, I know Heather doesn't like writing those checks, but you know, got to do what you got to do, right, Heather?
Yeah, I don't regret it. Huh? I'm not upset about it. I just, it's physically painful.
Well, that property made a lot of money, so.
Yeah,
it's not painful 100%. To me.
I know, because you don't write the check.
Okay, well, I see the amount of work that went into it, too. So
I don't see that.
Okay. You have no contact with that side of things, so maybe that's why, Heather. So,
yeah, I mean, that's 100% why, but I think it is funny because it is like a visceral response. Is that the term? Like
maybe, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There's a lot of times where just having that experience saves money up front, and we're mm-hmm. only funding deals.
That's true. Yeah, so we pretty good at recognizing deals at this point. Mm-hmm. So obviously I might get something wrong sometimes. And maybe if I don't feel good about a particular mm-hmm. property, I'm not going to agree to fund the deal or whatever. But, or if I can clearly see that it's not a deal, I'll let you know, mm-hmm. you know, I'll let you know like, hey, you know, I like this property, but you know, we would need to be at a purchase price around this amount in order for it to work for, you know, the deal funding program. So I'll let you know. And you know, it's one of those things, you know, the evaluating land is a little bit of an art and a science mm-hmm. kind of put together. So it takes some experience sometimes to recognize some of these cases where the comps may mm-hmm. not be as established as other properties. So,
and I say this all the time because a lot of people get stuck on this, but the more you do it, the easier it gets.
Oh yeah.
You know, and sometimes you won't even know the exact reason why something's off. And you'll just be like, I just don't feel good about this one. And it'll come to you later. When you're thinking, you know, because it'll go back like, why didn't I? And you're, okay, it was that, you know?
Yep.
So just trust your gut. And the more you do it, the easier it gets. And yep. the more successful your valuations will be.
So first of all, in either scenario, a couple of things I want to mention about mm-hmm. this partner deal funding thing. In either scenario, the partner will want to take title in their name. That's normally how these scenarios work. they're putting up all the money. Mm-hmm. So the title goes into their name. That's generally how these work.
Right. And so, it feels a little weird because you're like, no, it's my property. I'm just having you fund it. Uh-huh. But that's kind of that like safety mechanism for the partner, that the money person, that they really will benefit financially and get their money back.
Yep. And then along with that, there's also going to be a contract of sorts. That's going to be an agreement that you both sign where it clearly specifies who gets what and what the scenario is behind all that. So that's what we do. And that's what all other deal funders and deal partners that I know of will do the same thing. Mm-hmm. There will be a paperwork aspect of it that clearly defines mm-hmm. how that profit is split up and how everything goes.
Yeah. So. And I can't stress this enough. You do not want to be doing anything without a written agreement.
Oh yeah.
This doesn't have to be something super fancy either, by the way. It can be very just, you know, clearly stated, if X happens, Y happens, you know, all this kind of stuff. But it needs to be, you need to both understand exactly what's happening. I would even do it if it was like a family member or something. I would have it
100%. Yeah.
You know, because that's where problems happen, where there's expectations that aren't clearly understood or miscommunications. So you need to write something up, something that's easy for everybody to understand. You sign it, you date it.
Another thing to talk about here is that there are experienced deal funders and there are non-experienced deal funders. Mm-hmm. So what I mean by that is experienced deal funders can help you kind of evaluate these deals and can also help you identify bad deals. So
right.
It's kind of an important thing. And they may be able to assist in some way with marketing, due diligence, transactions, or at least give you some guidance in those areas. So mm-hmm. there's funders that are experienced and there are some that are not experienced that simply have the money, want to put it to work, and they're going to be relying on you to provide all the expertise and all the know-how in order to get these things done.
Right.
So just beware. I'm not saying one is better than the other because mm-hmm. every you know, situation is different, but you know, some are just bringing the money. Some may be able to bring the money and some experience.
Right. So. They're just investors looking for better returns than they're getting.
Right.
And they're like, okay, this sounds like a cool idea. It's backed by land.
Right.
I want a part of it, but they're not going to be, I mean, they'll probably ask you for some basic stuff just so they can do kind of a due diligence, but it's not going to be a due diligence that you should be depending on. It's a due mm-hmm. diligence so that they have their ducks in a row per se.
Yeah.
That's another big draw though, you know, like using a deal funder is that if someone actually funds your deal, they felt confident enough in doing it from an experience.
Yes. If you're dealing with someone with experience. Right. Yeah. Profit. Typically most deals are 50-50 profit mm-hmm. split. You know, as you gain more and more experience and you get comfortable with a particular funder or something like that, maybe some of them will do a better split. Conversely, if you've got a larger deal or something like that, that it's pretty common that deal funders will want more than 50% because they're taking on more risk and they're putting out more money and all that kind of stuff. So
it's just
risk, each scenario is a little bit different.
Yeah, risk mitigation so that they know that there's more room. It's not even so much about profit for them. A lot of people get hung up on that. It's not that they're looking for more profit, although they could be, and they that is okay because it is tying up more of their money and it's going to take longer. So they need to make more profit to meet their goals. But it also is so that there's more room in case they do have to unload it.
The downside, protecting the downside. Uh-huh, yeah,
exactly. And that's just a reality.
Yeah. One of the biggest rules of investing is don't lose money.
Right.
So,
right. And you know, that's something we live by. We've had a couple of deals that have not worked out. We haven't lost money though.
We did have money.
Oh, money. No. We had our first lot.
Yes.
Oh, no. When? Yes. Just
it
recently?
It was $500. Yeah. I haven't really made it public yet, but yeah, it did happen.
Okay,
and you know what? It was an error. It was an error on my part at negotiating at the end.
I'm going to need everyone to chime in here. Do I dock his pay?
You can take $500 off my pay. Yes.
Okay. Or do we like withhold like
quickly?
Apples?
I'll tell you what happened.
Okay. Go for it.
So this is a property that we had forever. In hindsight, I wished I hadn't bought it. We were under contract at a much higher price and that deal fell out. And then we were struggling to find a new buyer. We eventually found a new buyer. Mm-hmm. It's about a year holding the property. And I was like, okay, we're going to need to get, it was we paid a lot of money for it too. It was $130,000 property or whatever.
So we lost cash. More than 500 when you think about it, because I'm sorry, yeah. I don't want to make you feel bad.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Piling on him. But anyway, what happened was I crunched the numbers and I was figuring out, okay, we got to sell it for 139 or something like that in order to break even to like cover mm-hmm. all of our expenses and everything associated with that property and commissions and all this stuff. And then when I got the closing statement, the estimated closing statement, I was like, wait a second, we're going to be $500 short, because I didn't realize that there was an extra real estate transfer tax in that area that
did
I hadn't accounted for.
Did we have to send money in to close the deal? No, we wouldn't have had to because we owned it outright. Okay.
Yeah. And so when you figure out like, there was nothing.
Okay.
And so anyhow, there was nothing I could do at that point. If I had done things differently, you know, in order to kind of change that deal, I would held out for $500 more, mm-hmm. or I would have talked to the real estate agent about potential adjustment in their commission to $500. I would have found a way to put that deal together so we didn't lose money. But
okay, so
even the greatest of us make mistakes sometimes, Heather.
I haven't.
No.
Sorry, is that what we were talking about?
No, I make a lot of mistakes. I'm just joking around. If you don't know that, I'm not being serious.
He's totally messing around. Okay, so a couple of things. You would not have bought the property in the first place.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay, what was the difficulty? First of all, whenever a property falls out like that, it's like the kiss of death to me. It doesn't always mean that, but some of them go right back into escrow and it's fine. Uh-huh. But there's some that it's like, it creates this like
negative feedback loop and then you just have to keep selling it for, keep reducing it. Yeah, it's got a stigma on it.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And I can't tell you which is going to and which isn't. It's weird because some of them are like, it'll go right back to escrow and it doesn't. And then it's just like a trouble child. Mm-hmm. What was the reason? What was wrong
with this? It was too sloped. You know, and I tried to factor that in, but I didn't factor it in enough.
Enough. Okay.
So.
And we talk about that all the time. Like we try not to buy sloped properties.
Yeah. Because they're never worth as much as you think they are.
Right.
It's like, oh, this property is such a great deal for this, you know, amount of acreage and everything. And it, you know, on paper, it seems like it. But in reality, you got to look at it from the buyer's end. Like who's going to want to buy a property that's that sloped? Mm-hmm. What are they going to use it for? You know?
Yeah. So did it close?
Ski slope. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, would you, under the right circumstances, I guess not for the right price. I mean, the right price.
I would have bought it for 50% cheaper than what we bought.
Okay.
It for.
Yeah, so and that's what it would have been. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I mean, you learned a lesson, right?
Yep. Live and learn.
Right.
So we got off on a little bit of a tangent mm-hmm. there.
No, but I think that's important to share those things. And that's why we are, you know, I know a lot of people, when we say like we try to be as honest as possible, we really are.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't.
It is what it is. I mm-hmm. think this business is great overall. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 230 or 40 deals or something like that. I lost $500 on one.
I know.
I'm not too, you know, and bent out of shape about it.
Yeah. The way that I look at it is it actually taught you probably a $10 million lesson.
That's right.
Because theoretically going forward, anything you've now redefined what you consider a slope, uh-huh. you know, the natural consequence feedback is pretty, especially someone like you, because it's only $500. I don't even bat an eye at it. And I don't like losing money. Uh-huh. I don't like wasting money and I like money. So for me, $500 saying it's no big deal, it's really no big deal. Mm-hmm. But you'll, you know.
You know what? In hindsight, I mean, I guess I could have still talked to the agent at the very end there mm-hmm. and said, hey, can you reduce your commission $500? But that wasn't the right thing to do either.
No, because I need to protect my gentle psyche and I cannot lose money. Uh-huh. Could you please?
I know. That's really what it was about. I was kind of like,
And we've been on the other side. You know, yeah. We need to do a whole episode on this, the new real estate laws and stuff. I don't specifically understand how
everything's
it's
shaking out.
Right.
As we speak.
And just a gentle reminder, you as a real estate agent end up showing so many properties to so many people who are, they say buyers are liars.
Mm, yeah.
And it's 100% the truth.
Yeah. You waste a lot of time. Unfortunately, a lot of people waste your time. And it's not like every person you're dealing with generates you a big commission check.
Or so any commission check.
It's a weird business in that way.
I remember one time we were showing to somebody who, I mean, they want to see all these different all these different places and stuff. And we were showing it to them and their kid closed a gate on my foot. Do you remember that?
Yes. You remind me of it all the time.
And it was like gushing blood. And I'm like, it's fine. No big deal. Didn't need that foot. Got another one. And I still have like a scar from it. And we kept showing them. Literally my foot's like, it was bad. And a couple months later, we had been showing it for a while. They were like, okay, so we were talking to the person who rents us our apartment or something. And they also have a real estate license. And they said that they would give us our full deposit back if we use them. And so we just went and bought a house with them this weekend.
Yeah,
so yeah, you know, real estate agents they deserve to be paid.
Oh yeah. Anyone deserves to be paid.
Right. But I don't know why this whole thing, it's like attorneys take things contingent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, that's my...
Boost your land flipping earnings with our new Land Conquest business system. It's designed for efficiency and effectiveness. This cutting edge software tool is your key to success in the land flipping industry. streamline, and automate your operations to scale your business to new heights. With our system, you get a customizable website with 6 professional templates to choose from, up to 5 dedicated phone numbers, each with their own chosen area codes for creating a trustworthy local presence. And as a bonus, you'll get a $25 credit for SMS and email sends. You'll also get access to our tech team to build any automations or customizations that you want. And not to mention, we've got a great dedicated community to the Land Conquest business system to help us all thrive together. And with every step of the way, you get our 24/7 live chat support. But that's not all. You'll also gain access to our exclusive community to connect and grow with fellow land flippers. Seize the opportunity to transform your business. Visit software.landconquest.com to check out the Land Conquest business system and unlock the next stage of your land flipping success. Yeah, so anyhow, craziness. So yeah, as soon as some things shake out a little more, that's a good idea. We should do an episode on but how it's going to change.
Yeah, exactly. And how it'll affect land. Because I have had people text me already asking that. And I'm like, I don't think anyone knows. We'll see how it goes. I don't think it'll affect land too much. I don't think it really will affect land much at all.
Yeah. We also, we talked about the partners. Private lenders is another area that specifically is it could be a good tactic for a no money down situation.
Is that more like hard money kind of feel or kind what do you, what do you
but,
mean?
But I'm talking about someone that has generally this comes in the form, especially, you know, as you're maybe new in the business or something like that. Generally, this comes in the form of family or friends that have some extra funds sitting around, maybe in a self-directed 401k or IRA or something like that, that they want to put to work and get a better rate of return than what they're currently getting. So they may be willing to lend you money to do these deals. Now, this is can be a great thing if things go well for you. If things go well with the deal, could be a really bad thing if things go sideways. So,
you know, this is where I want to put a call out. If anyone has a CPA or tax professional that really understands
real estate investing,
or did you just mean to kick me?
No.
Jeez. No. Or retirement stuff, like, because I think it'd be really, a lot of people would probably be able to get family members to invest with them for just their retirement accounts.
Yes.
There's not as much volatility. It's backed by land. But people need to understand what kind of accounts you have to have, what qualifies. So, and I don't really know any tax professionals that are vested enough in this that I would feel comfortable talking to. But I would love to bring that to everyone because every time we talk about it and you know, we can share what we know, but we're not professionals in that. So I would feel, I wouldn't feel right doing that other than to say that it's an option, right?
Right.
So if you know a CPA that's really good with real estate investing or someone really good with retirement account stuff, give us their information or have them reach out to us. We would love to interview them.
Yeah, call Heather. Your phone number is...
I won't answer. So you can, you could call all you want. I don't ever, if it, and I give out your phone number, by the way.
DM me on Instagram or something like that.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Or email you.
Or email me.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, okay.
ReesetTurningProfit.com.
Okay. So, there we go.
There we go.
Okay. Back to the...
Okay. So family and friends, they likely trust you.
Hope so.
If they're going to want to invest with you. And the thing that is very important here is to make sure that you know what you're doing. So, you know, you might have family members that trust you and everything like that, but be honest with yourself. If you're really not that confident in what you're doing, you're still learning this business and everything like that, do you really want to put that relationship on the line and risk it?
Right.
Because there's nothing that ruins relationships faster than money. So relationships with family and friends. And it's potential, you know, deals can go sideways, you know, something that you're confident you think is a deal. And maybe you just don't have all the information. You don't know that, you don't know what you don't know at this point. So you may be very optimistic and consider something a great deal, but you may be overlooking something too. So just be very careful that, you know what you're doing if you are going to borrow money from family and friends or anyone for that matter.
Well, your $500 failure story is, I'm going to enjoy this. I'm going to be, I'm going to be doing this one for a long time, but that's a perfect example because you are an expert in it. Right. I mean, you've done hundreds of deals just in this space.
Yeah, that's this point. Yes.
Right. And you, you know, you had one that went sour, $500. So you're more open to the idea of that than I am. You're more open to the idea of credit cards and or lines of credit and friends and family and stuff than I am. But mm-hmm. I think we both recognize that to me, there's no amount of money that's worth ruining a family relationship.
No, no. When you could We're just, a great friend.
You could just talk politics and do that without yeah. any money, right? I'm here all week. Right. I would say use a professional funder until you're very comfortable. Mm-hmm. And then once you've got a track record.
Yeah. And you're confident, you know what you're doing yeah. and it's all on you and you're comfortable with that mm-hmm. risk. And maybe you've got some extra funds that if you do have a loss, say you lose $5,000 or something like that in the deal, do you have the funds to make up that loss? Because right. the last thing you want to do is to have someone lend you money and you're not returning the whole principal.
Right. Yeah, you need to guarantee your bet. Mm-hmm. Even going into it, I call it a bet. I mean, mm-hmm. but we remember my thing, we don't push a deal and we don't right. gamble. But
we don't speculate.
Yeah, no. we don't speculate. However, I mean, there's risk in every single thing, like you showed with that mm-hmm. one. You know, yeah. you just never know. Now, on the flip side, you have had plenty where you expected to make X amount of dollars and we made five times that amount.
Mm-hmm.
Five times the amount? I know it's a little.
That might be a little exaggeration, yeah, but exactly. we made more than I thought we'd make for sure.
Right. Yeah. So it goes both ways. But the reality is that if you're going to borrow from somebody that you care about the relationship, please make sure you have enough to cover any potential losses.
Yes, definitely. Family and friends mm-hmm. can be a good option if you know what you're doing mm-hmm. and you're sure. You're sure on things.
Right.
And the other thing is, you know, we talked about this a little bit. Make sure that they know the risks. Make sure that you're getting the paperwork done on this deal like it's supposed to be done,
yes.
you know, through buying it through a closing company, title company or whatever, and making sure the paperwork's done right. And then also making sure that agreement is in writing between you guys as well. So,
I mean, we've had issues where we've had to use title insurance. We've had to go back to it, right?
We're going
to
have another one too.
Other than the one I know about?
I'm not sure which one you're talking about.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. But title insurance, I think, is important for people to understand is it covers what you paid.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't cover your potential earnings.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to get back. You're not even going to get, like, if you put surveying into it, you're not going to get that back.
Mm-hmm.
It literally is just insurance on, like, if I spent $35,000 on this property, it's the purchase price. I don't even think it's the other.
Yeah, it's whatever you bought it for.
Right. But so. It wouldn't include escrow fees or any of that
stuff. Doubt it. Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah. So in the worst case scenario that the title insurance has to do, by the way, and also they're going to fight mm-hmm. theoretically.
Yeah. Yeah. Most of them aren't going to just write you a check.
Right. It's not going to be like that.
You know, it's insurance companies are the biggest racket ever. Right. Like
right.
they gladly will take your money every month. And when it's time to collect, it's not the easiest thing to do.
No. And so. Some mistakes happen, but the reality is that it's much better to make a mistake that went through a proper escrow channel
mm-hmm.
where there was a title insurance, there was a title company, there was an escrow officer, they used notaries.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's attorneys involved. It's on a real contract. It was filed with the county by somebody other than you. You weren't, you know, didn't pass a check across the table or worse, oh, yes. hundreds of dollars of bills. And then you go down to the county and you're like, I'd like to file this deed. And they're like, this is no,
mm-hmm.
sorry.
Yeah. You know, and then that's a really good point you said there at the end. You said that you're not taking the money directly or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Like always, if you're dealing with a private lender or something like that, always have them send the money oh, yeah. directly towards closing. Like you don't take possession of those funds mm-hmm. at all. Like that just, that creates a lot of cloudiness and the paper trail and all that kind of stuff. So you have them send it right to the closing company. And then when you resell the property, do not, you know, I don't think they'd let you because if it's done right, there's a lien filed on the property or note or mortgage or whatever.
Or it's in their name. Yeah.
Yeah. So they would get the proceeds directly from that closing as well.
It's like it's split. So they would send like, okay, here is what you contributed to the property plus your earnings as the lender. And then here is, you know, your earnings after mm-hmm. it's all said and done. The escrow company or title company sends it out. Another reason you wouldn't want to take the funds yourself is that there a lot of times they'll put a hold on it. And I've even seen, you know, it used to be, I don't remember putting holds on wires, but I've seen them now where it's not available.
Yeah.
If they can put some sort of security thing while they negotiate, investigate.
Hmm.
So it's just cleaner. You don't want to be the one doing the paperwork. You're not qualified. I would even say you're not qualified. I'm not qualified.
I'm not a paperwork person, no.
No, I don't know all the different rules in the different jurisdictions, like that $500 fee. You didn't even know about that fee.
Yeah.
How do you know about a fee you don't know about?
It was like a $1,000 fee.
Oh, so the story's changing.
I thought I was going to profit $500.
Oh, no.
I ended up losing $500.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thought I gave myself a buffer. It just didn't work.
Yeah, you were like, okay, I've got $1,000 here. Well, the good news is I didn't know about it till just now, so I haven't found you crying in the corner.
If you just looked at the wire that went out a year ago and the wire that came back, you'd probably say, oh, okay, we
broke even on this one or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's other things that go into our expenses that I calculate and I make sure we we account for.
So. Right. Yeah. Well, there's photographers and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So, yep. And that's another thing you need to remember. And then go ahead. What's the next section?
All right. So the next thing is that, you know, family and friends, but you can also, it's also possible to attract people that want to invest with you through your network or online activities. If you're, mm-hmm. you know, talking to friends about like, hey, this is what I do. And I'm, you know, I'm buying and selling land. You're at the gym or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe some people are like, hey, how do I get involved with this? You know, you might be able to attract some investors that way.
I want to say in like a situation where it's like a CrossFit community or that kind of thing where it feels like a community, that could probably work. But like at 24-hour fitness, please don't go to the girl like working out on the treadmill. Hey,
first of all, that's creepy. Don't.
Yeah.
Don't do that type of thing.
Yeah. But so it's so. Like you're looking at communities because a lot of times it comes up. What do you do? And
yeah,
I can't tell you how many times that does come up. What do you guys do? And then, I mean, it's not like we're hiding anything on the internet. Yeah, we're everywhere.
On another side tangent, there was this joke at the place I used to work out, CrossFit gym. But there was a real estate agent that you could tell he was just there for getting listings and like he would just put so much effort into being the real estate agent for the place and not as much effort into working out, but it was just kind of funny.
I know who he's talking about. I'm not going to say anything else. It's funny. I did get a text message from an old friend. The kids went to school together and she was like, hey, just changed careers. I'm now in real estate. Let me know if you need anything. And it was a business card. Uh-huh. I really like her, but I have a in-home real estate professional. So,
yeah, I would be upset if you didn't use me as your agent, Heather.
Oh, I have this.
Actually, you know what? I've bought many, many properties before where I have my real estate license and I mm-hmm. could easily just go direct and do it myself. But I want people bringing me deals and stuff like that. So right. I let them represent me.
100% of the time. I mean, yeah. Really pretty much. Yeah. Even when we're buying stuff like that, we're going to be keeping for a long time. We make a point of going to have someone else do that because mm-hmm. they know the areas better. And yep. I think it's okay to say.
And I want the incentive for them to actually get the deal done.
Right. So. Right. I mean, cause we know on that side.
That's the important thing.
Right. They get it done. Cause there's, you know, they're motivated to do that. But in that sense, I would use you, especially if it was in the state of California.
Thank you, Heather. Yeah. I really appreciate it. Okay. So the last kind of category that we touched on briefly is the business or consumer credit. So this could come in the form of a home equity line of credit, a home refinance, cash out home refinance. It could be a business line of credit, bank loan, something mm-hmm. like that. So there are all these, you know, consumer sort of business funding sources that you could potentially use. You know, obviously you've got to have some sort of credit profiles established. And with some of these business credit cards and things, you can do it with a very limited, you know, new mm-hmm. business and everything like that. But
On the last podcast, I said I was going to put together like a thing where it talks about which cards code for better points. Like if you're into that, mm-hmm. it's funny because I try to do that. I'm not as good as, I mean, I'm not a credit card hacker, but it's an easy way to be like, okay, I know which way this one codes and I can get 3 points. And we use it to send our family on vacations and stuff.
Why don't we take any vacations?
We used to. Reminding myself that like we used to travel half the year, you know, and
We're going to Disneyland next week. So it's going to be a big trip.
Isn't
for us.
That funny? That's like a one day. I did go all out.
It's a little over an hour away.
I got like the VIP tour. I'm like trying to make like a That'd whole vacation into one day. That was my goal. I was like, okay, cause there's no way we can do everything. So where can we throw money at this to make it fun?
We can't even stay overnight cause we don't have dog sitters.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Can we take the dogs with us?
No, but they used to actually, when I was little, they would have kennels outside of Disneyland and people would do that.
That'd be terrible.
Where you would put the dogs in there. I used to love going because you could kind of see the animals and I thought it was so cool.
Business idea. Someone in Anaheim could have like a really cool dog camp.
Maybe they do for just maybe. Like a Disney thing or a knockoff Disney themed, like our fan, you know what I mean?
Mickey the dogs might be upset by seeing these big Mickey Mouse characters. Oh my God. And stuff.
Our little one would like probably try to attack it like a big stuffed animal, but yeah. Anyway, so we need a dog sitter in Southern California. Thanks. And a cat.
Okay.
And maybe for our teenager too.
Yes.
Okay. So what else you got here?
Oh, okay. So first of all, just a little recap. If you're new to the real estate investing, and you're looking for a way to do deals with no money down, I think the absolute best option for you is to use the first, try to use the Partner with Pete program. Mm-hmm. Now, we've got a couple of things that criteria for our program that are just sort of our rules. Mm-hmm. Basically, we only do deals that we look for doubles. Mm-hmm. So by that, I mean like buy a property for $50,000. The anticipated resale price is $100,000.
Right. But that includes like anything extra we have to do into it.
Yeah. So,
you don't have to calculate all that kind of stuff. Right. We just do a rough.
But that's our rough kind of guidelines, and that's worked well for us over time. The other thing is we will only do deals where there's a projected at least $10,000 profit per partner. Mm-hmm. So that would be $20,000 obviously split in two. So smaller deals and everything may be great, but that's, you know, for our team to, you know, for it to make sense for our team and everything to get involved, that's this deal size that we need to do. We don't do desert squares, meaning, you know, parcels in the middle of the desert that just kind of exist on paper, you know, like a paper subdivision type thing where there's no real use for those. We don't do those types of properties. We like bigger deals. We prefer to do the bigger deals rather than the smaller deals. Okay. And I know that's a lot different than a lot of deal funder, deal partners out there. They'd rather do the smaller deals. And, you know, they don't, you know, there's a lot of deal funders that have a max of like $50,000, $75,000, you know, purchase price and everything. So everyone's got their criteria. If it's a deal, we'll do it. So I don't turn away deals that match our criteria just because we've got too many deals are going on or whatever. We've got ways to fund any of these deals, no problem. So, and the big benefits for us, obviously, is we do it all. We handle it all. There's no downside risk. That's amazing.
I thought meant the benefit for us was like that we make money.
Oh, well, the benefit for everyone is we make money.
Yeah, that was funny. But we have the benefits of using Partner with Pete.
Okay. Yes, exactly. No downside risk. I've got a paper here, so I just want to make sure I don't miss anything. Mm-hmm. We do all the due diligence, photographer, perk tests, surveys, anything that's needed. We do all that. Value add, we handle all those costs up front, meaning, you know, lot splits. We love doing lot splits, brush clearing, junk removal, et cetera. And some of those can add up, like that $30,000 check that I was talking about.
We don't do ones where it's like big jugs of hazardous material. So I'm just putting out there, we'll do junk removal, but we're not doing like hazmat or those barrels that bodies could be in. We're not. Yeah, sorry.
No. You've watched too much CSI, Heather.
Thank you.
We do the transactions on the buy and sell
side. Do we buy hog lagoons?
We don't buy hog lagoons either. We handle all the marketing, find a great agent, negotiate deals, et cetera. And when the property resells, we split the profits 50-50. One other thing that I didn't even write down, there is no time limit. So I know a lot of deal funders have time limits. Hey, this thing's got to sell within 6 months. And if it doesn't, then you get zero. Mm-hmm. That's written into a lot of those contracts. That's not us. As long as it takes, we will split the profits with you.
We've heard some really sketchy things also about cutting people out, like just not paying them their shares.
And sandbagging to get it over that 6 month line.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, in any business. So that's. Are you looking for funding for your land flipping deal? Then head on over to partnerwithpete.com. It's an innovative new funding program where we split the profits with you 50-50, but we take it one step further and we handle every other step of the process in the land flipping business. Yes, that means we handle all the due diligence. If the property needs any value add, like clearing brush, perk test, survey, we'll get that paid for up front. Then when the property resells, we split the profits 50-50. There is absolutely no downside for you as an investor. If we lose money, we don't pass that on to you. But when we make money, when we make profit, we split the proceeds 50-50. So as a recap, we handle every part of the process. We split the profits with you 50-50. There's no downside for you as the investor, only upside. So go to partnerwithpete.com, submit your deal there, and we'll get it checked out within 24 hours.
Right. And who knows? We're only hearing one side. The other thing I want to say is that the reason why we don't have a limit, it's mutually beneficial, is because we want to do as many deals with you as possible.
That's the key.
We're not looking for you to bring us one deal. We're hoping that, you know, you're like, this is so easy. This is fantastic. I didn't have to do this. Just get the deal that I bring you a million of them. Mm-hmm. It's the other a million of them. Sure. Okay. Mm-hmm. Slight exaggeration. If you bring us a million deals, that would be cool. But
that'd be cool. Yeah.
And the other thing too, is that we do have a free training program. And the reason we offer it for free when we don't charge right the second, it might be getting charged soon, is that we want you to be so well trained that you can bring the deals so we can partner with you. So
we want you to find the deals. That's what it's all about.
People get like really confused, like, well, why would you offer a free thing? Or why would you do that if everyone else is doing that? And it's because we recognize that if you do well, we do well.
Yeah,
exactly. That's as simple as it is.
Exactly. So we're very upfront about why we're doing that. And I think it makes sense for everyone. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, when you have a property under contract, you simply submit it at partnerwithpete.com. Make sure that you've got a clause in your contract that says it's assignable. Our contract, which we give away in that land conquest program,
has a clause in there. So because what happens is when we do the deal funding paperwork, then the deal gets assigned to us so we can close it in our name. And then we'll just ask you to touch base after we sign the paperwork and everything. We'll just ask you to touch base again with the seller, let them know that your partner's team is going to be handling the closing from here on out, coordinate the closing process. And then some of my from my team will reach out and make direct contact with the seller and get on the same page and update them through the closing process and everything. Very, very easy how it's done.
We have people that do the transaction coordinating. They look at the due diligence. They handle the value add. They are doing the, you know, and when I say due diligence too, like just the basics of it, you know, evaluating if it's a deal before it even goes into it. Yeah. We have people that specialize in all of these different steps.
Yeah.
So it would be impossible for a single practitioner to really duplicate this unless they were planning on doing high volume, and specialists do better than generalists.
Yeah, exactly. And then we also will regularly update you through the process. You know, you'll get updated, you know, like when the photos come in, you'll get an email with the link to all the photos and the due diligence and all that kind of stuff. So you can check it out and you'll know when the property closes and title work comes in, you know, all this kind of stuff. But, you know, like we said, we've got certain criteria. And it doesn't fit into all deals. So maybe it's a smaller deal. Maybe it's a deal that I looked at and I just wasn't comfortable for whatever reason. Doesn't mean that I know everything and, you know, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But there's other funders out there as well. Mm-hmm. And I think the best place to find them is in our Land Conquest community. Because all you have to do is just start a post in there. I've got a category in there for fund my deal. And you just post the details about your deal. And then if it's an actual deal, then you'll likely have no problem getting it funded.
People are always shocked that we allow that in our community since we offer it too.
I don't care.
There's more room at the top kind of is how we or there's more room at the top. There's always room at the top.
Yeah. I think our program is very unique. It would be very difficult for someone else to offer like all the, you know, the parts of the funding program. So I feel confident and, you know, I'm fine, you know, others getting deals too. So.
Right. You're right. There's enough to go around. The other thing is that we are able to manage this all because we use a CRM program that we also do offer.
Yes. It's not just a CRM.
It's a business system.
It's the Land Conquest business system.
Sorry.
This is the entire system that we use to run our full land investing business.
Pete is rightfully very proud of this because you've created something very fine-tuned.
It's not, there's a CRM portion, which is obviously, you know, that's dealing with any of the leads that come in and converting those leads to actual deals. So that's a very important part of the system. We're incorporating some AI. Some AI calling, texting, all these things are coming soon. But then we also manage every other process of the land flipping life cycle. You know, this due diligence process, the transaction on the buy side, the value add process, the marketing process, the transaction on the resale side of things. You know, we manage all your contacts. We manage everything gets put into the system and you can have unlimited team members kind of logging into this from all over the world and be on the same page on all these properties. So it's very unique, I think, what we've built, but we also offer that to students as well. And you can find out about that at software.landconquest.com.
Right. It's been really, really well received. And I also like that as we create better systems, it'll go to that too.
Yeah.
So,
well, we can create any customizations you want to.
Right. Maybe you have a great idea that you, and then you don't have to hire somebody that, you know, pay thousands of dollars for someone to make a change.
Oh, and I also forgot to mention that it includes a website.
Oh, yeah.
Land investing website. And we've got a number of templates that are ready to go. You just simply give us your logo. And we've also got the text and frequently asked question videos and all kinds of stuff in there. Just ready to go. So it's very turnkey for you. You get five phone numbers, you know, whatever area codes you want, as long as they're available. So a number of things like that are part of it. But
It's important to have that website, too, because people get a random letter in the email.
Yes.
They will go online just to kind of verify that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next up is our questions section of our podcast.
I like to call it questions from the community.
Questions from the community. I like it. Yeah. So every week we cherry pick four questions from our Land Conquest community. By the way, you can find that at landconquest.com. It's hosted on the school platform. So you could also find it by going to school.com/landconquest. But we cherry pick four questions from the community and we answer them on the podcast.
I want to clarify that. You pick four questions. I don't read them before I get them.
Yes, so. I surprise Heather with four questions.
I think sometimes it's like she sells, like you try to do tongue twisters for me, but we'll see this week.
Yeah, okay. We'll see.
So Luke says, purchase agreement. Hello, all. Excited to be here. I'm new to land flipping and I'm wondering where to find a purchase agreement to use. Is there a template here in the community? Oh, we have good news.
Yes, there is. In the classroom tab of the community, you'll find our land conquest training program. It is in there. We give you the specific PDF download so you can see the exact letter that we send out to everyone.
Very good.
Okay. Not to everyone, but to landowners. To try to get deals. So
we send it to people we know don't own land just in case they do in the future.
Yeah.
It's kind of a fun thing for us. Okay. So Dan says, what's the standard for comps and land? Sorry, you tricked me here. Is there a trick to doing comps that gives you accurate value? Well, geez, this is like, I even said tricks and then.
Yeah. Basically what we're trying to do with these properties is we are trying to find similar type properties as close as possible and as many similar characteristics as possible. So for instance, if you had a 10-acre property in a certain county in, you know, Pennsylvania or something like that, you would want to find a recent sale that is very similar to that. You know, maybe it's a meadow also. You know, maybe the property you're trying to value is a meadow. The comp you're looking at, you know, hopefully would be a meadow as well. Similar size and as close as possible. So with land, the problem is that it's not always that easy. Like those comps are not always available. So what you have to do is adjust sometimes. You know, maybe you find a similar property, but it's twice the size. So you do an adjustment on the price, price per acre, and you come up with the value that way. Maybe you found a similar property, but it's, you know, in an inferior location. You would just make an adjustment for that. So basically, you're trying to find as similar as possible, as close as possible, and as many characteristics as possible that are the same. Right. And make adjustments when it's, you know, those things are different.
Right. So you maybe find another property that has that, but doesn't have this. And then you say, okay, what's the value difference? And you try to add or subtract that to the other one.
Yeah. If you want to see how I do it specifically, I do these regular, we call them deal evaluation Zoom calls in our community. And we've got them all recorded. They're all up there now, probably like
60 hours or something. Isn't it like,
like 50 hours.
50, yeah.
Yeah. So you'll learn how to evaluate properties really quick by watching those. Those may not be up forever in the community for free. So
we want to offer as much as possible. So I would watch those as soon as possible. And it's crazy because when you see it's like inside the brain, like how it's processing, that is invaluable.
You'll learn how to evaluate properties really quickly by watching this.
Yeah. Brandon says finding a county. When looking at counties to send mail to, how many sales are you looking for the county to have in the last 12 months?
Okay. So I don't have a hard and fast rule for this. I just want there to be activity in this area. So you can change a lot of variables to make that number different. Like say, for instance, you're buying properties only in the 10 to 20 acre range. Are you looking at number of sales for any property that's sold? You know, so there's a lot of different things that you could mess with to kind of change that number. But I just look for areas that have activity. You know, I don't want it to be a ghost town. I don't want there to be like one sale over the past year and like 10 listings, you know. So those types of situations are the ones you want to stay away from.
Yeah,
so
you're looking for a good balance. You want people that are buying.
Yeah. You want stuff happening, you know, like because you're going to run into a lot of problems. If there's just not a lot of sales activity there, you're not going to find a lot of good real estate agents either. You're not going to find good closing office. You're not going to find any of this services that you need to kind of go along with it. So active markets are better. The super hot markets are definitely tougher to get deals. But when you do get deals, they're easy to sell.
Hunter says another question. What are the benefits of having a virtual mailbox? What do they do? Does anyone have any suggestions on good virtual mailbox companies that they have used?
Yeah, we've actually got a number of recommendations for that. They're definitely, first of all, you definitely need a virtual mailbox in this business. You don't want to be giving out your home address or anything like that on these letters that you send out. So we've got our recommendations at resources.landconquest.com.
Right. So I love that they theoretically, some of them will index, like they'll scan every single thing and email it to you.
Yep.
And then you get to choose like what you want forwarded to you, what they can just trash. But the thing is that in your email, then you always have a record of that.
Yeah, it's great.
I don't even want to have, like, I keep thinking I want to talk to you about that. Like, I don't want to have a home address at all for any of our mail because I want someone scanning in and opening it for me. Like I don't want to open email or mail anymore.
I mean, it's a package is one thing, I guess, but
like, or a check. It's weird how companies still insist on checks.
Yeah.
Just electronically send it, but whatever. Okay, we have to get that, you know? But
yeah.
Any other mail, forget it.
Yeah. So you can send Heather checks. Just don't send her anything else. Yeah. Send her an email instead.
Yeah. I'm pretty good about email, but we're actually working on a system for you because you get so much email.
Yeah. It's impossible to keep up.
And you really, and I appreciate this from you, you want to respond to every single person individually with an in-depth answer, and it's just not possible. So we're creating new systems. So that'll be coming soon.
So if you email me
yeah,
and no, you're still I'm waiting for me to respond, it's not that I, you know, don't want to respond. It's just I want to pay attention to each one and give it the time it needs. So
right. And there's a few of us in your email inbox too that try to decipher like what needs to go to what. But the majority of the time we want you to have that opportunity, but it's just about finding that time.
Yeah, there's only so much time in the day.
Right. So. Well, I guess that's it for today.
Yeah, that was a great episode. I love talking about no money down type things. That's exciting to me. Brings me back to my roots and that, you know.
Carlton Sheets days.
Yes, because I had no money at that time. So, and that was the only 16. Way I was going to become a real estate investor is if I did things with no money down.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah. So anyhow, thank you very much for watching or listening or whatever you, you know, however you absorb this information.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
We appreciate you.
We will see you next week on the Turning Profit podcast. All
bye.
Right. Bye.
Ready to start turning profit yourself? Head to turningprofit.com to step up your real estate investing game. See you on the next episode.